We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight for our midweek Bible study, Van Grove Baptist Church. Hope and pray that you have joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. I just wanted to hit 3 points tonight, and I'll have these up out on the resource table also for folks. How to deal with your problems in dealing with our Christian walk in dealing with life as a Christian. Too often, Christians seem to have a feeling that, you know, well, I'm a Christian now, and I know that a lot of these things are not going to happen to me anymore. We've talked about that many times, Brother Randy, and they become discouraged because why are all these things happening to me? And I've, you know, had folks who talk about their loved ones that says, you know, I'm not going back to church anymore because I was trying to do the right thing, and ever since I was trying to do that, everything has fallen apart. I'm not going back. So, Christians, here's what I want to encourage us to do. I want us to encourage others in dealing with the problems. One of the greatest situations we will find ourselves today of those who are broken, those who are just so down, you don't even see any way out for them yourself. The reason is that they see no hope. And the reason is that they think that problems shouldn't be happening. And Christians need to understand, the closer you walk with Christ, the more hell's going to come against you. But see, in talking to some who have gotten in that point, they say, I know that. So that's the reason I don't want to. I don't want any more hell coming against me because I just can't handle it. So what was that? That was the idea of a problem is here, therefore I quit. Look at the marriages today. Problems are here, therefore I quit. Relationships with children and parents. Those kids are driving me crazy, I quit. Get out, I'm locking you out. Sometimes you have to do it just to protect your sanity and safety. But we have to watch ourselves. Because if we don't be careful, what we will end up doing is every roadblock we see in life will stop us from achieving what God does have planned for us. So I thought first one, when problems block your path, keep going. See, when we see the problems out here, half the time it's an illusion by Satan. It's where you get to thinking, oh no, if I go that way, all of these things are going to happen. You picture everything evil happening to you, and you haven't even started your journey yet. But you see the roadblock up ahead, and in looking at that roadblock, you think, now do I want to deal with this roadblock, or do I just want to let that roadblock block me? Too many allow that roadblock to just block. But the answer to it is, and I'm not saying it's an easy answer, but the answer to dealing with life, period, Christian or not a Christian, is that you keep going. And as you keep going, then as a Christian, your faith will grow. You will understand more in life, but sadly, it takes us a whole lifetime of living to finally get to a point and say, you know, I can see now where God walked me through all of these hard situations, and there would have been a lot more he had of had I just not quit. When problems block your path, keep going. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. Listen to Paul. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We got knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Will it ever cease? Not in this world. That's called life. That's called real living. You're going to, every day you're going to have some kind of difficulty. If you don't have some kind of difficulty every day, you're not doing something right. And if you don't get the world mad at you and the secular society mad at you, I guarantee you, you're not doing something right. Well, you know, you get back to the old statement, of, don't you worry, Brother Larry, they didn't even know I was a Christian. I wasn't there, you know, I wouldn't have embarrassed the church or Christianity. There wasn't a person at that party that had any idea I was a Christian. For some reason, that didn't help me in that particular situation that much. Listen to Psalm 3:34. And here's one of our problems. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Preachers are the worst. Those who are called by God to preach, those who are called by God to be in full service for Him or service to Him, get impatient because God hasn't already fixed it. Because, you know, Lord, I didn't know this part of my calling. What part? Think of it this way. When God called me to preach, what did He do? He sent me to prison to do it. So people say, you know, no, He called me and I went straight into the pastorate. Now, Will, I am thankful that I spent 28 years as a prison chaplain to get prepared for pastorate. And maybe they ought to do it that way. But don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Have you noticed also? A lot of times when we think God hasn't acted, God has already acted. He just didn't act the way that we thought He should be acting for our life. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, I'm still not seeing this. I have found in life that when I get to the end of it, most of my life I will not have figured out. And I can tell you, I haven't figured anything out as far as heaven. All I know is, got a promise, it is better than man can think of, that it is so great that there's no crying, there's no pain, there's nothing that we have to relate to in the human form. So I'm very content to wait and see what God has in store. But I'll tell you the sin, and you all know one of my big sins. Some of you know more probably. One of my big sins is I'm more excited about going than I am staying. And sometimes when you get so eager that it becomes dangerous for a man of God because, why not just quit, give up? I don't have that right. Now I got to fight all this other stuff, whether it be more cancer or whatever it is, but I will fight it, and I'll laugh at it all the way. Keep traveling steady along, Brother Randy. Steady along His pathway. What happens? We get angry at God. We're on the path God placed us on. So what happens? We decide to take up another path that pleases us. Easier path. A not so stressful. I just can't handle the stress. Well, life and everything to do with life is loaded with stress. Have you noticed that? People say, well, I'm not happy here. Well, you're not supposed to be, not home yet. You get happy when you go to heaven. Be thankful and get happy over the focus of what Christ has done. You're never going to be happy on earth. We get just a glimpse of a little bit of happiness. And don't you worry, I guarantee you, you feel great today, you're upbeat today, you know, God has just shown you the light, and I guarantee you, as soon as you walk out the door, somebody will knock it out of you. My Lord, I thought I could stay up there. Well, you got to read the book called the Bible. You can't stay on the mountaintop and help people. let me get back. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway, and in due season, he will honor you with every blessing. That also means on earth. You got to remember this. What a lot of people see in somebody else's life is, look how blessed they are. Look at those. They've got plenty of money. They've got everything and all of this. My mother of the old generation, when I went in today, for those of you who are listening, she'll be 102 in August, and she said, I know you're saying, what can you do for me? Well, give me my health back. And I said, Mother, you ought to be ashamed of yourself to even say something like that. 102 years old, living in her own home, and when she does cook breakfast for herself, it's more like a burnt offering, but I'm sure that she prays for it like that. But that's fine. But, you know, to live that long, and have you noticed that sometimes in life we get so many blessings that we don't know how to handle things that don't seem as a blessing? We don't want to have to deal with the reality again. And we get upset. We can't just accept the blessings that God has given us and thank God. I guarantee you, when you thank him, he's going to pour out so many you can't handle it. It just won't be in the way you think. It'll be in the way that is best for you. Number two, when you see no hope, look beyond what you see. I mean, that's a part of my whole ministry, my whole life, my whole calling. When you see no hope, look beyond what you see. You know, our eyes are so fixed to the point that when we are looking at the world, when we are looking at our situation in life, we say, I see no hope. But in 2 Corinthians 4:18, let's get it straight. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we can't see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we can't see will last forever. The hope of the human race is to be able to see a future. But again, we get secularly motivated to the point, I'm going to see what's going to go on tomorrow. Well, maybe you'll be dead tomorrow and you don't have to worry about it. I want to look at close for it. And then somebody get upset with God. See, I was going, Lord, I was hanging around just to see how he's going to bless me tomorrow, and here I am. People who fuss and gripe are going to fuss and gripe. I don't care what you do, right? Or what they do. The greatest anger in dealing with killing hope, and the greatest problem is the individual themselves kill the hope. The world doesn't have to. Well, Satan doesn't even have to come in and do it. We human beings, we are fickle human beings. That's close to your brother-in-law's, son-in-law's her name, wasn't it? We cannot get it straight at all. It is put your eye on what you can't see. All right, let me think about this one. What you can't see is the only thing that's truly real. What you can't see is the only thing that will last forever. So therefore, let us open our heart, look beyond what you see. Not difficult. But as older you get, the more, if you want to really find the peace that God offers, whether you're being tortured or whatever happens, you want to find that peace. Remember, in the trainings in the Corps, it was if we were held as prisoners of war, and in the Corps, what we would do was we had to be able to project our mind out of the body. Well, at a 17-year-old Marine, that wasn't hard for me to do at all. My mind wasn't halfway in my body anyway. But I finally caught on to that one. So you're not the one that they're torturing because you're not there. Now, it's amazing what the human mind can do. We know that. People say, well, yeah, my mind's playing tricks on me. Yeah, but it don't always play the tricks. God will use the mind so you can project yourself. Do we not do that when we've lost loved ones? Do we not project ourselves back in time and to remember the good times? So God says, this is a gift that I'm giving you. Number three, this is the final one. When depression hits, now folks, if you say you've never been depressed, you're depressed. You just don't know what depression is. Depression is a part of the human existence that, and I say this all the time again, that in the human condition, there is going to be depression. Well, that means you're crazy. Well, I was crazy when I said yes to Jesus, according to you people. And now I'm crazier because I believe that I can talk to a deity, according to you people. These are my psychology friends. I'm so glad I dropped that major. Anyway, when depression hits, think about the goodness of God. Oh, no, I got to think about my goodness. Well, you're not that good. I mean, folks, we are really, don't be checking on your own goodness. Because I guarantee you, everybody that knows you will let you know you ain't that good. Right? But I know the one who is, the goodness of God. Psalm 27, 13, 14. Here, listen, he promises. This is King David. I would have despaired, been in deep depression. Got it? Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I was waiting, but I didn't know I was waiting for the Lord. Don't we see the scripture that says in due season? Don't we see the scripture that tells us when the time comes, when it is ready? God says, why are you bothering me? To his mother. He said, my time has not yet come for the miracles. But he did it. But think of it. Think about the goodness of God. Excuse me. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. You know, that's one of the greater pleasures that I've taken in counseling with prisoners and victims of crime and all of this. Because I knew that every time that I would be in their presence, I'd be in the presence of God. Every time I'd go in to try to help one, then I knew that I'd be in the presence of God. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, if I keep focusing on myself, on something that I can see, instead of going beyond what you see, if I do that, and don't pay any attention to God's goodness, then I will remain crushed in spirit. That's the focus again of depression. It's my spirit with Christ is separated from any physical emotion, any physical feelings, period, because I'm spiritual. So therefore, my spiritual connection should not be connected with what I'm experiencing. Got too deep on that. Do it this way. We see what we're experiencing. And if we allow our spirit to be downtrodden, our connection, then we will be spiritually depressed also. God says, look beyond what you see and look to my goodness, not your own. And in so doing, that your spirit will not be crushed. Remember the martyrs for the Christian faith? Stephen, one of the first. But think of that. Stephen saw Jesus while they were stoning him to death. And that drove them all half nuts. Can't you picture those Pharisees, though, sort of peeking up to try to see what he sees? Maybe he's got something there. Normally, folks did not laugh and praise God when they're getting hit upside the head with rocks. Psalm 31:19, last verse. How great is your goodness? Listen to David. Your goodness, Lord, how great it is. Because David knew he was a mess. You have stored it up. Look at who he stored it up for. For those who honor you. You do good things for those who trust you. When you trust everything in your life to God through Jesus Christ. His word says that he will only do good things to those who trust him. Now, Jesus said that a lot, and Jesus did a lot. For those of you who don't have a church home, if you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us. 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.